The 2019 Iowa legislative session is over. How will the latest round of policy issues impact communities across the state? We sit down with a trio of Iowa mayors on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, May 3 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Kay Henderson.
Property taxes, traffic cameras, housing needs, those were just some of the issues debated during the 2019 Iowa legislative session, issues that intersect with the work of Iowa mayors. We have three mayors with us today to talk about those issues and others. Joining us are Mayor Matt Walsh of Council Bluffs, Brett Barker of Nevada, and Terry Donahue of North Liberty. Joining us also, Caroline Cummings from the Sinclair Broadcast Group and James Q. Lynch of the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Good morning, and let's start with one of the marquee issues from the legislative session, property taxes. Mayor Walsh, in the end, rather than cap property tax growth, lawmakers chose to require more transparency on the part of cities and counties. How is this going to impact Council Bluffs, your budgeting process there?
Well, I think from one instance, Council Bluffs is unique in property taxes. We compete directly with a community across the river from us, as does Sioux City. Other communities in Iowa on the eastern side compete with Illinois, who has a high tax policy, and in Minnesota that also taxes fairly aggressively. On the southern tier, there really isn't much competition, and so property taxes through the years have really been a distinct disadvantage to the city of Council Bluffs. If you're a commercial property owner, until the 10% rollback, you paid 200% of what they do in Omaha for an identical building. And so no doubt there's need for property tax reform. I don't think that the legislature accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. I don't think it added any transparency. I think the issue people had was about increased valuations. And I think that's just a natural product of the market. I think after 2008, home values were depressed, and I think they've rebounded. And so as a percentage, people's valuation has gone up.
Mayor Donahue, the new law requires an extra public notice, an extra public hearing. And if you're raising revenues by 2% or more, you have to have a supermajority of your city council approve that. Is that going to be a problem for North Liberty?
I don't see that as a problem at all. As a city ourselves, and I'm sure that the other gentlemen too, when we go through our budget process, we have three or four public meetings where people can come in, see what the preliminary budget may be. If they wish to make a comment, they're certainly welcome to do so. We have a public hearing that's mandated as far as when we do the final adoption. I don't see that as much problem at all. It's just adding maybe an extra step, and we just may have to list the meeting as a little different.
Will the supermajority be a problem? I mean, getting that extra vote?
I really don't think that'll be a problem, because I've believed in the history of the state as far as supermajority for bonding issues and like matters. If it is, then it just means we have to go back and talk a little more.
Okay. And Mayor Barker, the goal of this was more transparency, so people understand what's going on. Do you think as a result of this, more people will follow the budget process in Nevada, turn out at your public hearing, or are they just going to ignore it and complain after the fact?
Possibly. Like other cities, excuse me, we do
the same process. We have the public hearings. We have budget workshops that are open to the public where the council can really dive into the details of the budget and ask those good questions. So I think people do pay attention, but I think hopefully it'll help them understand the system more. I think that's one thing that I notice is I don't think a lot of people understand there's two factors. There's the assessment and there's the rate, and those are two separate things, and they do play together to get that final number. So I think having people understand how the property taxes come about, and also you hear people say, oh, my taxes went up $12,000. Well, their assessment went up $12,000. The taxes obviously didn't go up quite that much. And then also to look at a cumulative level, I think that'll help too, because one house might go up, another will go down. And hopefully as communities see a rise, they'll adjust that levy rate. And that's, I think, what ultimately the legislature is getting at is don't ride on the rising assessments. Bring that levy rate down as you can.
Mayor Walsh, I want to come back to you. You said you don't think the legislature accomplished what they wanted to. So do you expect them to come back next year and tinker with this some more?
Well, and I think that's the problem, is they're tinkering with it. It's a broken law that's been broken since 1978 when they coupled together residential and agricultural values. And in my opinion, throughout that time frame, they tinker with it and try to make it workable. And at this point, it's like a piece of machinery. You can only repair it so many times. It no longer works. We would encourage them to study property tax, and they're so hesitant to do something that may raise taxes to one group of people while adjusting taxes for other groups of people. And again, in Council Bluffs, 200% higher in Omaha. In a healthy community, you'd expect about 50% of your property tax base to be residential, 50% to be commercial. Because of the high commercial tax rate, we're about 37% in Council Bluffs. So I told you it's double the tax that it is in Omaha. You would expect at a 50-50 scenario that residential would be half the tax. It's not. It's just incrementally smaller. And that's because residential property owners had to bring up the 13% that we lost because we don't have a competitive commercial property tax rate.
Mayor Barker, you testified against an earlier version of this bill in a subcommittee hearing. Is this version, the final version, better?
I do think so. I think one thing that was neat for me through the whole thing was just the process, and I do think it worked. I think we saw some proposals came out that were very unworkable for cities. I also think my colleague next to me went to the same hearing. We testified. They heard us. Our council passed a resolution. I think that was something we saw across the state. There were multiple cities and counties doing that. And I think they took feedback. Our state senator was really, really good about it, asking questions, saying, you know, I don't quite understand this. Can you explain it to me? I've also talked to these other mayors and supervisors. I want to understand it better. And it was actually texting me while the Senate was debating and voting on it. And so I think the fact that the legislators listened, they made changes, I think that was positive. I think a lot of the unintended consequences we were worried about, I think, were mitigated significantly in the final version of the bill.
And Mayor Walsh, property taxes get a bad rep. I mean, is there any better way to pay for city services?
Well, I think people would be surprised to know that less than 0.25% of our total revenue comes from property taxes. There are a variety of other taxes, gaming taxes in Council Bluffs, hotel motel tax, franchise fees that go to operate a city. It just seems that the legislature wants to keep pushing down on the revenues for cities, and that's where the growth is in Iowa, and I think that if they continue to do that, they'll kill the golden goose.
Lawmakers in 2013 cut commercial property taxes by 10% and provided money to the cities to make up the difference. Mayor Donahue, if that goes away, what happens?
If it goes away, then we will probably lose a department of some type. It's hard to make up that much of a difference. After 1 year, you have it 1 year and it's gone. So the thing is, it has unknown consequences, but there will be consequences.
Mayor Walsh, I think the last time you were on Iowa Press, we talked about traffic cameras. So let's talk about it again. This year, for about the past decade, lawmakers have been talking about either banning traffic cameras or regulating them. You've talked about how you use them in Council Bluffs. Have they made traffic, have they made the city safer, or does it just help the bottom line?
Well, we have used them, and we've used them for over a decade now. And we certainly feel that it's made the streets safer. And the evidence of that is we've gone from about $1.2 million in fines down to 600 and some thousand. So
it's not good 50% for the bottom line.
Well, it doesn't hurt the bottom line. I won't say it's about the bottom line. That's their argument, that it was a money grab and it was not about safety. And the irony of this legislative session is that their compromise was to say it's not about money, but we'll take 60% of it and we'd be happy with that. So if you look at it, you'll have people argue that the number of accidents maybe have not declined in proportion with the fines. And some of that, frankly, is people stopping too quickly, concerned about the light changing. But those accidents are less lethal than a T-bone accident, and so we think they save lives. We're confident they save lives. And I'd tell you, the residents of Council Bluffs support them. It's the people that come to town occasionally that haven't gotten used to them that argue about them, and I think that's true in the legislature. I think legislators who aren't from an urban area.
Exactly. That was the argument, that people from rural areas come to Cedar Rapids, come to Council Bluffs, Des Moines, wherever, and they pay these fines, but they get no benefit from them in terms of the revenue. By sharing that with the state, that would go in a public safety fund. Does that make sense from a city standpoint?
Well, I don't believe that it does, because they then would distribute them out to the entire state, and I don't know that the revenues would be substantial enough to help anybody. Again, in Council Bluffs, it's a little over 600,000. So allocate that amongst 99 counties, I don't think it makes a significant impact.
Mayor Barker, does Nevada have cameras?
We do not.
We do not. So no. Do you care about this issue?
It really doesn't affect our community. I follow it just from an interest perspective, but don't feel strongly either way.
Mayor Donahue or Mayor Barker, are you considering putting up cameras to generate revenue or improve safety? Is this something that's been talked about in North Liberty?
We really haven't talked about it at all. I agree with Matt. The thing is that, you know, this revenue sharing that they've talked about, how fair really is that? The thing is, I think towns like Council Bluffs can prove that there's safety benefits that have evolved. Yes, if the number of cash coming in declines, well, we're probably saving a life on the road.
Do folks in North Liberty complain about the cameras that were in Cedar Rapids? Did you hear that complaint?
None whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
Let's shift the conversation to housing. Mayor Donahue, you're at the helm of one of the fastest growing cities in Iowa with North Liberty. How do you keep up with housing needs?
Housing needs are basically, in our community, developer driven. And the thing is, I know our Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as the council, take great stock to see that there's trying to establish a balance between single-family residential, multifamily, and try to keep different developments balanced, and so and offer an opportunity for all income groups to participate in the ability to have a house.
And Mayor Barker, Empower Rural Iowa was an initiative that provided housing tax credits targeting smaller communities this year. How do you plan to leverage that for Nevada?
I think housing is obviously something we're working really hard on. We had a community summit a couple years ago, and that was the number one issue that came out of it. Our Economic Development Commission is really focused on housing. Obviously, the city's been a partner in that as well. So a lot of what we're working on is helping to provide residents with the knowledge of some of those assistance programs out there to make sure that they're aware of what they can take advantage of, and also to make sure that there's places to put homes and working with developers as far as that goes. So we've had some developments going on. We've also had some challenges too, and one of them has been we've had local developers that purchased property to put in homes, and so there's been a development with 66 homes that's been on hold for 2 years because of the Rural Water Association outside of our borders. So for us, we've run into hurdles with that Rural Water Association. I've been working with our United States Senators and USDA and things like that, which hopefully we'll get some resolution to.
Mayor Walsh, one of the things we heard before the legislative session from cities, large and small, was the need for workforce housing. And I heard from a number of, like, chamber sorts of groups that said we could fill more jobs if we had housing for people. Is that the situation in Council Bluffs? Or?
It certainly is a situation. You know, as you drive around our communities and look at the, in some cases, deplorable state of streets, the cost of infrastructure has outgrown the ability of the general public to pay for it, and that bleeds in to the residential housing market. If you want workforce housing, which sounds a little ironic, but it's housing in the neighborhood of $175,000 to $250,000, the installation of the infrastructure to do a residential subdivision is too expensive to get a reasonably priced lot. The new lots for sale in Council Bluffs are about $75,000 a lot. So if you're looking at a $250,000 house, you can't build much house after you pay for the lot. Now, the workforce development grants helps offset some of those costs. Obviously, you need the income to take advantage of the credit, but those credits have been spoken for until 2023, and some of the new legislation for rural areas took $10 million away from that. We need housing in rural areas. I'm not discouraging that effort, but we need more money targeted towards housing so that we can grow the population, so that we can have employees for workers.
Mayor Walsh, you mentioned infrastructure. I want to return to that in a moment. But in North Liberty, you have a mobile home park that became an issue that legislators brought up, where rent will be going up for folks who live there. The legislature, in the end, did not pass legislation to regulate in a new way mobile home parks. Is the city in any way trying to get involved in that situation?
We've looked at it and have talked to one of the representatives from the association that bought it. The thing is that you take in consideration what the legislature was trying to do. Basically, all that came down to, well, we have to extend the 60-day notice to 180-day notice of rent change. That really doesn't do anything. It just defers the problem. The thing is that what we have found is that the company has lived within the law. They have stayed within the boundaries that they're going to. This mobile home or manufactured park situation is a matter across the nation that they are buying these up because it's becoming a cash cow.
James also covered an issue whereby the legislature decided to address rent.
Yeah, there was a issue that had to do with capping rental property, probably more of an issue in North Liberty, I'm guessing, since you're close to the university, maybe in Nevada too, on rental property, where it prohibits cities from capping single family and duplexes on. You're shaking your head, Mayor Donahue. You're familiar with this. Another win for cities?
Depends on who you talk to. I know that in Iowa City that, you know, I've followed their situation just as much because what they do affects us. The thing is, what they were trying to do was cap a percentage of rental versus homeowner, because in the neighborhoods that they were trying to control, most of those homes are older homes. Instead of having one or two cars at a particular home, if you change it to a single to a multifamily residential or rental unit, you could have 5, 6, 7, 8 cars in an old neighborhood where streets are narrower. The infrastructure was not as good, and you always take a deep breath that something doesn't happen. And it's been very difficult for Iowa City to cope with. In fact, they just recently passed a moratorium in as far as not establishing any rental permits until the law is signed. I think it was 447, House File 447, and it was signed yesterday. And so, you know, now they'll have to go back and say, what are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm. The American Society of Civil Engineers Iowa section this week issued a C grade for the state's infrastructure in general, and they raised some concerns about levees and dams in particular. As someone who lives along the Missouri River, Mayor Walsh, are you concerned about the finances you may have to maintain that system?
Well, we are fortunate in that we applied for the state flood mitigation program, which any incremental increase in state sales tax that of the 5% that the state gets, the city would get 60% of that. And it's been working fairly well for us. We are protected by a 28-mile levee that needs to be recertified by the Corps of Engineers before FEMA remaps our area. And if we don't get the recertification, it could throw about 55% of the city into a flood zone. And because FEMA's had so many disasters nationwide, they used to highly subsidize flood insurance. They no longer do that. If you're a new applicant, you pay the full actuarial cost of flood insurance. If you're a long-time purchaser, you pay a graduated increase. In many cases, in that area that would go into the floodplain, your flood insurance premium would exceed your mortgage payment, virtually rendering all those homes valueless. Why would you buy a house in one end of town where you'd have double the payment when you could buy one on a higher elevation that you wouldn't have to purchase flood insurance? So it's very important to us, and we are, with the flood mitigation program, we estimated about $57 million in our application. The cost of construction's gone up since we've been approved. It's going to be somewhere between $60 and $70 million by the time it's done, we believe, but it's essential and it's important to our citizens.
Mayor Barker, Nevada sits just north of Highway 30 and fairly close to the intersection of Highway 30 and Interstate 35. Yeah. This report that civil engineers issued raised some concerns about the road and bridge infrastructure. As a city, how do you deal with that in the context of getting a portion of state gas tax money?
Sure. And that's something that that obviously we rely on. We're right on Highway 30, like you mentioned. We know we need a new interchange. The community's been working on that for since the 1990s, and we're still not there yet, but we'll get there. But yeah, we definitely rely on the state gas tax money and the regional transportation dollars for those large type of projects like that. So definitely is important to us. I mean, a big part of the draw for the city of Nevada is the fact that we have Highway 30 and 35 interchange, and then we also have north-south and east-west railroads. So infrastructure is critical to our continued growth.
One of the common themes of this conversation today has been sort of local control and perhaps, depending from your vantage point, the loss of local control. And in recent years, we've seen the legislature legalize fireworks, ban plastic bags, ban local governments from setting their own minimum wage, the traffic camera legislation we talked about. All over the opposition of cities, or for the most part over the opposition of cities, is there an imbalance, and let's start with you, Mayor Barker, is there an imbalance between, I mean, is state government becoming sort of a heavy-handed big brother?
There's been some concerns, and I think whether it's property taxes, rental caps, traffic cameras, minimum wages, all the things you mentioned, a lot of them don't affect us in the city of Nevada, but we do watch them because we do feel strongly in local control. I think that's one of the great things about Iowa is we have 50 years of local control in the Constitution. So I think it's important to maintain that. And there are times that yeah, the state's position on those things I might agree with, but I don't necessarily agree with overriding the local citizens who should retain control over how their communities operate.
And Mayor Donohue, when you talk to legislators and say, you know, you're limiting or restricting what we can do and what we can decide for, are they receptive?
I have to admit that our local legislators have been quite good about the things. Mm-hmm. They take the time to listen to us and other people and then make the decisions from there. I am disappointed in the overall result because whether who's in control, Democrats or Republicans, the thing is that it's the people's choice. You know, the legislature can get, well, like I said, maybe a little heavy-handed. And I agree with my associate here, is that many of these issues should be local control, remain under control. You know, the issue of wages, well, why did that come up as hard as it did? Well, the state hasn't risen the minimum wage for years. Well, neither has the federal government. And because of the living cost in our area, someone felt something needed to be done. Johnson County moved toward it. And though some of us didn't like it, it was probably an appropriate step to do.
Mayor Walsh, real quickly, is this sort of a symptom of the rural-urban divide in the legislature that they don't understand what you need?
I think there's certainly a component of that. In many cases, rural legislator will encompass a small portion of an urban area, but the majority of, of their district is rural, and so I think that's a factor. I think the heavy hand of state government maybe has gotten a little heavier because the Republican House, Senate, and governor's office, and so some of the checks and balances that used to be in place aren't in place anymore. I think there's been some aggressive efforts to try and redesign government, but I'd tell you that those legislators are in Des Moines. They're not as visible to our local people. I shop in the grocery store. I eat at the restaurant. I take the phone calls. I'm elected by the people of my community to do a job. And when somebody who doesn't have that perspective starts to tell me how to do the job, and I don't know that they've got the expertise that I do, it bothers me greatly. The state of Iowa has a constitutional amendment for home rule that's been just disregarded by the Iowa legislature over the last 2 years.
Mayor Walsh, my job here is to keep track of the time, and we are out of it. Thank you, mayors, for joining us today. Thanks for watching. For everyone here at Iowa Public Television, thanks for joining us.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.